ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 वेल, टुडे वी आर गोइंग टू डिस्कस शिक्षाष्टकम्। But before that, let's offer invocation prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakam Lam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Chakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam साद्वैतं सावतुतं परिचन सहितं श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्ण पदान सहगन ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितंश्च। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर वासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Okay, so we are going to discuss Shikshashtakam, but before that, I'll just want to give a preamble to it. What is Shikshashtakam?
Can I just move the mic?
Like this?
Yes. Okay, thank you.
So Shikshashtakam is not written by Lord Chaitanya. It was spoken by him. But it was written and recorded by Swarup Damodar in his diary, which he used to maintain as notes to what Lord Chaitanya used to speak. And his diary was famously called as Karcha. Karcha. Karcha means notes, actually. So he was taking, he was recording many things of many activities and many important things of Lord Chaitanya, what he spoke. And one of them was this 8 verses. Well, Lord Chaitanya spoke. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gave a commentary to this. That's surprising. And that is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Antelila, I think 23rd chapter. There, Mahaprabhu is discussing these verses and giving natural commentary to this. So he is the author and the commentator to these prayers and glorification. And later, many devotees wrote commentaries to the commentaries of Lord Chaitanya. Just like, for example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a commentary, Sanmodan Bhashya. And Bhakti Shanta, he has written a commentary, Vivriti, Akhyan. And then various devotees have off and on commented on these verses. Vishwanath Jiva, in his books, off and on they have commented on these verses, used these verses to actually substantiate their points. And in fact, these 8 verses, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, it summarizes our Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. It summarizes how a devotee progresses from the stage of Shraddha and reaches to the stage of love. And this very prayer and glorification also summarizes the various emotions which a devotee experiences when he advances in devotional service. So these are very important for us. This is our Veda. That's all. Pancham Veda for us is Shikshashtakam. And in fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a book, Shikshamrit. Chaitanya Shikshamrit? It's based on this Shikshashtakam. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written many books. Just like Bhagavat Marichi Arkmala. He has summarized Bhagavatam. And then he has written Jayadharma, he has written so many books. He has written Bhajan Rahasya. All are based on the same sequence. Same Shikshashtakam sequence, 8 verses. And there's a sequence there, what we'll discuss today. Particular, there's a theme, and there are a lot of emotions, a lot of logic, and a lot of questions.
Why, we see 8 verses very important, like in Guru Ashtaka it's 8.
Yeah, yeah, it's mostly 8, yeah.
Your core concept of devotional
eight. Also. It's 8 because 8, somehow Krishna likes 8 number because he was born on Ashtami. Yeah, that's a mathematical thing. But he was born on Ashtami. Actually, in Lord Rama's pastime, Lord Rama was born on Navami. And pretty much Ekadashi, that was exhausted. That's also blessed. Navami is also blessed. Saptami, Shashti, they are also blessed for various festivals. And Dashara, 10 days. So, but 8 was left. So in the number 8, that personified deity, it approached Lord Rama. It asked him, what about me? So Lord Rama told, okay, I'll bless you in my pastimes. So that is why he was born on Ashtami. He had 8 main gopis. Radha Ashtami, all were blessing.
Gopa
Ashtami. Yeah. So 8 was blessed in Mahaprabhu's Lord Krishna's pastimes. So that is why probably this is 8. Lord Chaitanya, he's in the mood of Radha and Krishna. So having said that, one more thing, that Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, many devotees have written books on Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Out of them, 5 are important to us. If you want to know what is Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Achar, Chaitanya Vichar. Yeah, that is one book written by Jagdanand Pandit, Prem Vivarth. In that he says, Gaura Gaura Bole Chalena. If you simply speak Gaura Gaura, it doesn't really help you much. So why? Because Gaura Achar, Gaura Vichar. You should know what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did and what he said. And when you imbibe both of these things, then when you speak Gaura, your Gaura will reach Gaura. So this is Gaura Vichar. And Gaura Achar, there are 5 books. We can read them. Foremost is Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishna Sivaja Goswami. Then is Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Chaitanya Mangal by Lochan Das Thakur. Chaitanya Charitra by Murari Gupta. And Chaitanya Chandra Amrit by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. Those 5 books we should read if we want to know Chaitanya Achar, Chaitanya Acharya. But Chaitanya Vichar, this is the thing. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't write anything. He didn't even speak. Many things he spoke, but this is the main thing which is recorded with us. He also spoke that verse, Aradhyo Prajeshtanya Tad Dhamma Vrindavanam. That verse is spoken by him. But later recorded by, who was that? Srinivas. As for what that Kavikanpundas, spiritual master. Who is that? Srinivas Thakur? Srinivas Thakur, yeah. So he recorded this verse in his book. Aradhyo Vrajeshtanya Tad Dhamma Vrindavanam Ramya Kashchit Vraja Vadhu Vargena Ya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Idam. That verse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatra Adaro na parha. I want to know other opinions, but in my opinion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's opinion is the best. That is his verse is saying. I accept his opinion as the best. This verse and this one more verse he spoke. Gopi Bhartu Pat Kamlayor Dasanu Dasanu Das. That is spoken by Lord Chaitanya. And that is recorded by Rupa Goswami in Padyavali. He records there. And then what else? He also spoke that verse in when he was doing Rath Yatra. And then Yakomara Haram, that verse, that oh my Lord, I am meeting you after so many years in this Kurukshetra. You are a young boy, I am a young girl. All this verse. So all these verses are recorded. Very few of them. Question is, why did he didn't write a book? He could have written a book. He was a Pandit, Nimaya Pandit. And he wrote a book, he wrote a grammar book. But on the request of his disciple, or his friend, he threw it in Ganges. And that friend, according to some authorities, his name was Raghunath Shiromani. Raghunath Shiromani. He was a disciple of Sarvam Bhattacharya. At that time when Sarvam Bhattacharya was living...
He was a Mayavadi president.
Yeah, he was preaching Mayavad. So, and he was living in Godmandal. And there is a place called as... what is that place? Kanai Natshala. And near that place, there is one more place where Kadadhar Pandit used to stay. There's a place. I just forgot its name. You remember Gadadhar Pandit place? Where deities are there, Gaurang Mahaprabhu, big deities. I just missed that name. Anyway, so near that place, and Kanai Natshala, between those two places, we have village of Sarvam Bhattacharya. He was staying there. And his disciple was Raghunath Shiromani. And Raghunath Shiromani had discussion with Mahaprabhu. He told Mahaprabhu that I have written a grammar book. Mahaprabhu told, I have written a grammar book. And Raghunath Shiromani, he told Mahaprabhu, okay, fine, you first tell me about your grammar book, because you are Pandit. And so when Mahaprabhu started reciting, he started weeping. And then he asked Mahaprabhu, why are you weeping? He told, well, if your grammar book is published before mine, nobody is going to see my grammar book because yours is too excellent. So I said, okay, that's it. Okay, he took his grammar book, threw it in Ganges. Fine. And by this pastime, he was teaching us that we are not attached to knowledge. And we should not be attached to knowledge. Knowledge can be used to approach Krishna. But when time comes, we should be ready to even discard it. That was his pastime. But, so Raghunath Das Shiromani, he became a big grammar person, Sanskrit grammarist, and in fact, Nyayist. That book was on grammar and also Nyaya, logic. So we know in history, Raghunath Shiromani, he started a system of Navya Nyaya with another Nyayist, Ganganath Jha. They are known in scholarly community. But then Mahaprabhu, he then, through Jiva Goswami, he revealed his grammar, Harinam Amrit Vyakrana, which is there with us. But the question is, why didn't he write many books? He could have written, he could have just sat, you know, and keep on writing, that's all. He could have written volumes of books and left for us without any error, perfect, simple. It was very simple, but he didn't do that. He just left us with 8 verses. Question is why? Any suggestions, anything?
It's our tradition that people don't try to do by themselves, they give opportunity or services for others to come to do that.
Okay, that might be one reason. What is this? A sound?
Kitchen.
We are told again and again that the Shastakam
is complete
itself. It was never really need for anything more. Mahaprabhu said, Mahaprabhu gave this.
Yeah, that's true.
A complete connection.
Yeah, that's true.
Understand that, then you've got the essence of
completeness. Yeah, that might be correct. Yeah, it's complete in itself. Yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's complete in itself. But then through his devotees, he wrote many books.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Then why? That's the question I mean to say. Those devotees, they were not writing themselves. They were inspired by Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam.
But wasn't he setting example by living the life? When we read, we Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, a lot of it is only a description of his life, of what he did, where he went and what he said. Mm-hmm. And we don't really get, even the commentators are hesitant to give commentary on what he did. They only give you the facts. And every time, even in the sannyasa, they say, he led a modern life, like Sri Ram, and then,
well, I'll just give the answer. That's okay, but the answer is, the first answer is, all these answers are correct, but the first answer should be that God doesn't like to speak much. That's all. Even Krishna, he spoke so briefly, Bhagavad Gita. He just 28 minutes, 40 minutes he was speaking, that's all. According to some authorities, 28, according to some 45 minutes. But he speaks to the point. That's it. And then it is a duty of other disciples to come and comment on that. And why commentaries are required? If this is complete in itself. That's another question. The point is, God speaks. And then when people come and they read it, then they read through their own speculations and mind, no? And this produces many doubts. And to handle those doubts, these commentaries are written. So these verses are complete in itself, but commentaries are required largely to handle misconceptions and also to provide insight. But that's why all these commentaries, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote commentary, okay, fine. So what was the need of Bhakti Siddhanta to write another commentary on this? There's a commentary of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I was just mentioning, Sanmodan Bhashya. Then Bhakti Siddhanta wrote a commentary, Vibhriti. Why? Then Prabhupada wrote a commentary. Prabhupada has given a lecture or something. There's a on Shikshashtakam. It's recorded. Why do that? Because when people read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary, they get doubts. To handle those doubts, Bhakti Siddhanta has to write. And when people read Bhakti Siddhanta, they get doubts. And to handle those, Prabhupada writes. And when you read Prabhupada, there will be doubts. And to handle those commentaries, you might have to write another commentary, a purports to purports, Srila Prabhupada said.
How many can one person read? How much can one person read? Especially people like me. If I have five commentaries on Shikshashtakam, what do I do?
No, it's not question of reading. It's question when you are thirsty, you drink water. So when you read some Prabhupada, you'll get some doubts, 100%. You're going to understand everything. And if you really get some doubts and if you really want to advance, you will yourself search other books. Then there's no question of time or no. I want to know. I want to solve. I want to attain Krishna. So that will be spontaneous. So that's the point of Shikshashtakam. Okay, so let's now start Shikshashtakam, having said that preamble. Okay, Shikshashtakam everybody knows, and pretty much that's why I didn't make slides. And we can discuss some things now. Okay, we have 8 verses, and the first verse of Shikshashtakam is Cheto darpanam arjanam bhav mahadavagani nirvapanam shreya kairiva chandrika vitarnam vidya vadu jivanam anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipadam purnam tasvadanam Sarvatmana Snapanam Param Vichate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. So in the first verse, Lord Chaitanya is first teaching us how to glorify. So before any prayers you submit, we have to learn how to glorify Krishna. That's a system. What Srila Prabhupada also comments in his commentaries. In one of the lectures, Srila Prabhupada says, before praying, first learn to glorify Krishna. And this is the glorification. This is the best glorification because Lord Chaitanya is glorifying holy names. Now, he's glorifying Krishna. He's given 7 glorifications for holy name. 7. There are 7 glorifications for holy name. And in the end, he says, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. This is nice. So why does he say Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam? That's a question. Why does he say this? What do you mean by Param? Param means supreme. So Param means supreme. He says holy names of Lord are supreme. What do you mean by supreme? What do you mean by supreme? What do you understand by this word Param? Sankirtanam is Param. What do you understand by that? Anybody?
Topmost.
That's a synonym. That's English. What do you mean by that, topmost? Why is saying topmost? What do you mean by that? Any comments?
At that time, Mayavad was very prevalent and, people of low caste were not allowed to do worship. There was a lot of casteism and all. Probably Mahaprabhu wanted to break that, saying that, if anybody can chant the holy name and this is the most beneficial process.
Probably you can say this, yeah. But if suppose Mayavad is not there, what about this word we have to delete or what? Is there any other reason?
Maybe again because devotional life was very esoteric and exclusive for only certain sect of people earlier. So it was not available for all people. So chanting, Mahaprabhu initiated the chanting or glorification of Krishna even by...
So why he is saying topmost? This doesn't make connection, no?
Because he wanted to start the yoga.
No, but then according to logic, if he says topmost, then it goes contrary to. Then it seems it is for some elite people because it is topmost. People can misunderstand like that, no? So that is why I'm asking you, what's the meaning of topmost?
Topmost is that it's sulabh. It need not be topmost may be the most difficult thing to do. It can be easy and still. So then
you should add one word. It's sulabh with topmost, but he's not adding. So what do you mean by topmost? He has something in his mind. You see, it's a simple thing, Param Vijayate, but there is some philosophy behind this word Param. Now the philosophy is behind this word. He wants to convey two points to us. Topmost also means pure, purest. That is topmost. Uttamam, uttam, param, parataram, beyond all contaminations. So that's one idea what Mahaprabhu is trying to convey. This is the purest means to attain Krishna. That's one thing he's conveying this by topmost. And another more crucial point which he wants to convey by saying topmost is that Jiva Goswami, he mentions in Bhakti Sandarbh 273 section. 273 or 278, just check it. I 273. Okay, he mentions there in Bhakti Sandarbh that yadyapi anne bhakti kalau kartavya. This is simple Sanskrit. So, although other limbs of devotion have to be done in Kali Yuga, yadyapi anne anga bhakti anga kalau kartavya in Kali Yuga, they are important. Kirtan akhya sanyoganeva. It should be combined with kirtan. Otherwise, they don't give the effect. That is why he says topmost. This is the limb which should always be there in all your activities. Now the question is, why? Why it should be there? If you're doing deity worship, you have to combine it with kirtan. That's why in ISKCON, you do kirtan. That's what Jiva Goswami is mentioning. If you are doing cooking or whatever, of course, that comes in deity worship, but you should be thinking of holy name. You have to think of holy name, otherwise it doesn't. Or in fact, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakhyam, all those has to be combined with sankirtanam.
That is because of the other ones.
No, I'm asking logic. You're giving evidence. That is evidence, but I'm asking logic. So why? Why do you have to combine? Because if you go to other sampradayas, they don't have this understanding. No. If you go to Sri Sampradaya, they don't have this understanding. If you go to Sri Sampradaya temple, you'll just stand in front of deity. At the time of aarti, they'll be ringing bells. Ting, 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 ting. And no kirtanam. No kirtanam there. You have seen, no? Yeah. She has nothing. Even in Madhava, you go, no kirtanam. So so why do we have to combine kirtanam with all these things? Why Mahaprabhu said this? That's what he's conveying by param. Why? Question is why? What's the logic behind that? Any suggestions for that? Huh? Oh, demigods. Yeah.
My understanding is that Prabhupada is like any of the nine methods is perfect itself and you can get perfection. But in this Kali Yuga, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is basically mercifully given the holy name, which is the most powerful thing. And though anything can be perfected, even we turn, even, but this is a special benediction given so that we can take advantage, and especially we are most fallen in the Kali Yuga.
Really? So what was the answer?
Answer is because of mercy has been done. Every time we can't purely perform all the other things. But the chanting is the one thing that is the easily accessible.
No, but then we can't also perform chanting purely now. So what do you have to say for that? So then what to do? But then we are reversing the logic. I am asking, why do you have to combine holy name with everything? That's the answer.
Give you a mundane example.
Okay, give. Well, what's a mundane example? Let's see.
It's said like, vegetable. It's like if you just have to eat rice may be very nutritious, but if you mix with dal, then both are good and then it will be...
Oh. Okay, well. You understand the question?
Yeah.
Oh, online, okay. So the answer is little, you have to think, yeah. Answer is, you see in all other limbs, deity worship, primarily deity worship, that's a focus of that. When you are serving Krishna, the point is we are getting attention of Him. Get my point? In a cooking, Krishna is seeing us. In deity worship, Krishna is seeing us. But the point is, of devotional service, is not to distract Krishna from Radharani to us. Got my point? He's standing with Radha. Our point, our whole objective is to get his attention to Radha or to his devotees. No? And not to attract attention of him to on us. That's a material disease, no? So, out of his mercy, he will look at us if we do service. He's merciful. But as a servant, we don't want him really to keep looking on us. We want him to enjoy with his devotees, with his good devotees, no? We want to give him, just like for example, gopis and Radha are there. So what do gopis want? They want that Radha and Krishna should enjoy, no? And they are arranging behind the scene. Although Krishna gives them mercy, but that's Golok, no? That's Golok. So, by chanting, what we are doing? By chanting, we are trying to get Krishna's attention on Radha and on his devotees. How? That's the question. How? So when you chant Hare Krishna, as I told you, when you chant Hare, Krishna remembers Radha. When you chant Krishna, Radha remembers Krishna. And that's how they both remember each other. And we are trying to make Krishna remember his devotees, his Vrindavan, his Golok Dham, and that's how we are trying to serve him. That's our service to him in chanting. That's how chanting is service. You understand? It is service because we are trying to make Krishna remember his devotees and his Radha. And then he becomes happy. You understand the point? Then he becomes happy. So chanting helps us to...
Yeah,
it is written by Raghunath Das Goswami. He has written a book, Harinam Amrit Earth Deepika. It is written there. I think that's a book. I think that's a book, perhaps. I'll just give you the right name, if I remember. Yeah, Harinam Earth Deepika.
This is a very new thing for us.
Of course, I'm telling you all new things here. Harinam Earth Ratna Deepika. Yeah, so Ratna Deepika. I just made a note for that. So when you read that, and in fact, I mean, if you read Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if you read all songs, this is not new actually, we never really thought about it. If you read all songs, like Narottam Das Thakur songs, what he's singing? Oh, that song is there. One of the songs is there in our ISKCON book. Vrindavan Ramya Sthana. You have heard this song? Vrindavan Ramya Sthana. Shyam Sange Sundari Radhika. It's there. So what the acharyas are singing? They are singing glories of Krishna. And they're making Krishna remember his own pastimes, no? That's what is happening. Yashomati Nandan, what's that? Why are we singing that? Krishna remembers Yashodama.
That is glorification.
So why do you want to glorify him? Why do you want to glorify him? So that he remembers his pastimes, no? He'll enjoy it, no? If I glorify you, okay, you did something with your children or mother, you remember them and you become happy. That's all. He's not going to become happy with us. Never. We should not think we can make him happy. That's a disease. We try to make him happy, but we should not think that we can make him happy. His devotees can make him happy. And that is why we go through his devotees, no? We want to serve his devotees and devotees and devotees. A devotee doesn't think, I can satisfy him in all respects. Radha can satisfy him in all respects. And we have to just assist her. That's Gaudiya Vaishnavism, that's all. Your mic.
Is it not a bit, for lack of a better word, presumptuous to think that I will remind him of Radharani? There is never a time when he is forgetting Radharani or Radharani is forgetting Krishna.
Well, that's okay. Krishna never forgets. A husband never forgets his wife. But when we talk about his wife, he becomes elated, no? Then memories...
If he loves her.
That's another thing. I think this is a wrong example I gave. I should give an example of girlfriend and boyfriend. So there's more bliss. Oh, nice. When the subjects go to king and they make him remember about his victories, he remembers. But oh yeah, he's elated, so much bliss. I won that. Like that, Krishna becomes happy. He becomes happy. So that's our idea. And that's a mood to chant. Idea of chanting is to make Krishna remember about his name, form and pastimes. That's what we heard, no? Krishna will reveal his name, form and pastimes and qualities to us. Why he will reveal? So that we'll enjoy. If we have this enjoying tendency, he will not reveal to us. He will give us gift of his form, pastimes and qualities so that we get that gift and then give him back. And make him remember all these things. That's what we are supposed to do. We are not supposed to take. Supposed to give him. So that's the idea of Param. Okay, so I don't think so I'll complete entire Shishtar. I can't even probably complete first verse. Mujhe nahi lagta. But let's see how much we can leave for next time. If it goes. But that is Param. So we have two explanations for Param. One, that it is pure. And second is that it is compulsory. It has to be combined with other limbs. So if you don't combine, then what happens? Now you can understand. If you don't chant, if you don't combine Harinam with all other limbs of devotion, what happens? What happens? Ultimately, you're trying to get his attention on yourself. And this doesn't serve the purpose, no. We are no longer a pure servant. We have to become pure servant. That is gopis. Gopis. So, okay, fine. Param vijayate. Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu says vijayate. So what's the meaning of vijayate? Param vijayate. Vijayate. What's the meaning of that word? Vijayate. Yeah, victorious. Sankirtan is all victorious. Prabhupada translates like that, no? All victorious. Why? What's the meaning of this? Why he says all victorious? What's the meaning of that? Where victory? Where is war and what is victory? Now, there are two meanings for this. I just told you, there's a war also, no, going on. There's a war going on with Maya. And if you have this flag of Kirtanam, Pataka, Jai Pataka of Kirtanam, you're going to win in this war. You're going to win in this war just by the power of this emblem. You know that we had a king in history, Constantine. You know this Constantine? He was the only Roman king in entire history who changed the face of earth by establishing Christianity. And he, for the first time, used a Christian emblem. Christian emblem like this. He used that Christ emblem. And it is said, it is recorded in history, that when he used to go to war against all this Lysias, there was a king in the east, eastern Mediterranean countries. He was quite powerful. Darius, there was a king. He was, when fighting, he used to carry his emblem. Those people, they outnumbered his army because they had barbarians on their side, no? All those people. But he used to show his emblem of Christ, and army used to fear it, dread it, and they used to run away. That's how he won. He won like that. So that is called Jai Pataka. So even if you go to Bengal now, nowadays we don't carry in Harinam Kirtan, we don't carry that emblem. But previously, if you go to all Godmandal, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Associates, all those places, which is called as Pathwadi. Pathwadi means the places where they used to stay. Mahaprabhu used to come to Kirtan. They had this long rod with a plate on the top, like this plate. So it was called Pataka, it was called. They used to carry this in front. You know, person will be carrying and he'll be carrying in front, and on the top there'll be an emblem of Kirtanam, of Mridanga or whatever devotees. So that was the system previously. And he used to defeat Maya. So that is Vijayate. And the second thing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has in his mind, by saying all victories to Kirtanam, to Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, to give enthusiasm to us. Never lose faith in holy name. Day and night chant holy names of Lord. That's the advice of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Day and night. Goswamis were doing that. Ahar Nisham. No? 24 hours they were just chanting holy names. That was the idea. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I'll quote that verse afterwards. But there's a verse, Khaite Shuite Yada Tatha Naam Loe. Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a verse. Mahaprabhu says, eating, sleeping, just chant the holy names. But the question is, while sleeping, how do you chant the holy names? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, while sleeping. And you know why I'm quoting this? Because if you go to Vrindavan, there are many sahajas. And they will say, while sleeping, we were chanting. I met in a train one person from Gaudiya Math. And I told her that she was talking to me, and I told her, well, she told you're from ISKCON. I told her, I'm chanting 16 rounds. She said, well, you are all ISKCON people, we know. We chant 64 rounds. So she was a doctor. I told, well, how do you get the time? How do you get time? You can't chant. It's impractical if you're doing some work. Either you're sitting in Vrindavan doing nothing and then you are chanting. What do you do? So it's all this simple. When I, we had dreams, so I finished some 20 rounds. It was a shock to me. Yeah, in dreams, yeah. Because, and then she quoted this verse. Khaite shuite yata tathanam loe. Mahaprabhu has ordered while sleeping and eating, you should somehow chant the holy names. And they were fulfilling that prophecy of while sleeping you have to chant. So, yeah, that's my question. What does he mean by that? Why does he say like that? Any suggestions?
It's a method of constant remembrance. When you train yourself to constantly, we dream only about the things that we think about. Our mind links.
Okay, but
we spend the whole day thinking of the Lord.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Bhakti Santa says this thing. If you chant entire day, then in sleep also remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if you don't, then we are violating Mahaprabhu's order. No, nobody can hardly, anybody can hardly remember.
Even when we are sleeping, I'm not 100% sure I'm not chanting. But when we take,
of course.
rest, and before taking rest, if you're saying, okay, you know, sleeping so that my body gets a little rest, so I can wake up and do more service.
Okay, like that. Yeah. Mm. Like that. Yeah, that's, I have.
Is it that the dream represents our real consciousness?
What is it?
Is it that our real thing comes out in the dream?
No, you should not go too far, make it too complex. It's some scientific thing. Anyway, it is simple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to convey a message that sleeping and eating, the idea he's trying to convey is, you are doing so many things in your day-to-day routine activities. Sleeping, eating is one of the major things. Sleeping, eating, blah, 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 extra, extra, extra. Always remember that all the things what you're doing in daily routine activities, it should be favorable for your chanting of holy name. It should not obstruct your chanting of holy name. It should not become unfavorable to chanting of your holy name. Always remember that. So that your explanation comes in this point. But your explanation might be a subset to this thing. So we have to, because many times it doesn't happen like that. We do so many things. Whatever we are doing is to increase the quality of our chanting. Whatever we are doing, anything, eating, sleeping, distribution, preaching, temple, management, cleaning floor, anything is to increase quality of chanting. If that doesn't happen, you've lost the point.
Really, the quality of chanting is the last thing to change, as far as I can see. Our desire to do service over time.
But goal should be that.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. The association increases, our anarthas become more visible, we try harder.
Yeah.
But the flavor never.
So then that's, there's something wrong there. So the point is, then this means we forgot the goal. We get so much lost in these things, we forget the goal. It happens so many times. We get lost in all these things, especially in ISKCON. In institutional setup, not in ISKCON, not in any institution, we lose the focus. So whatever you're doing, it is for morning 5 to 7, that period. That's all. Because that time is for chanting. So 22 hours is for that time. 2 hours. That is the most important and the important time of our devotional service, if you're chanting at that time. If you're chanting at another time, that's another thing. But you should always remember. And that's how we check. That is how we check whether we are serving Krishna or not properly. If you're serving Krishna properly, the next day when you chant, you will feel bliss. Krishna accepted your service. Because we were doing service with the attitude of increasing your entrance into holy name. Krishna granted that. Okay. You want that? You did so many services to me. Why did you do that? Okay, Krishna, my goal was to chant nicely. Okay, blessed. When you chant next day, you feel blessed. And then you serve more. And then Krishna asks next day, what do you want? Krishna, I want to chant your holy name nicely. Okay, blessed. Then you become more blessed. So that's the idea. But if you do service and Krishna asks, okay, what do you want? Krishna, well, I want mercy. I want this. Abstract answers. Krishna says, okay, you're not clear. So I'm also not clear. What should I give you? Okay, goodbye. No bliss. And that is why sometimes we get bliss, sometimes no bliss. It happens, no? Our chanting goes. Because we are not clear what we are doing, for what we are doing. So that is why this word Vijayate is important. Vijayate. Mahaprabhu is trying to warn us, make us remember that Sankirtanam is all victorious. Everything has to be done for chanting. So there's that Indian constitution for the government, by the government, of the government. That's remove government and put holy name there. For the holy name, by the holy name, of the holy name. That's all, always. Okay, that's second word, Vijayate. Now, Chaitanya Prabhu says, Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Now let's discuss this word, Sankirtanam. Why does he say Sankirtanam? Why doesn't he say Kirtanam? What is Sankirtanam? What is sun word doing there? Together?
Complete.
And if you're not together, then you can't do Sankirtanam. If you're in jungle, then I can't do anything, forget it. So that's one meaning, I accept, together. But then when we are chanting, we're not together with anybody. Of course, in ISKCON there is some kind of thing coming, you know. It's always together, so when you're chanting, you have to always sit together. But you cannot also. It's not necessary to sit together. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not chanting with anybody else. Prabhupada was not chanting. You don't have to really sit together. Okay, yeah, this is the meaning. One meaning of Sankirtanam. Sankirtanam means with your mind, tongue, thoughts, tongue or voice, and your intelligence, and your soul, emotions, they should be one direction. All of them together should do Kirtanam. Your heart, your mind, and your voice should be in one direction. You're chanting something, thinking something, emotions or something else, then that's not Sankirtanam. That is Kirtanam. And by the way, Bhakti Sandar Saraswati Thakur says, that is why Mahaprabhu says Sankirtanam. And Mahaprabhu warns us, if you do Kirtanam, then it will lead to doubts. Because when you do Kirtanam, there will be no effect. You're divided. No effect. There's no effect, you get doubts. Is this process okay or not? I'm chanting for so many years, no bliss. No, I'm chanting 16 rounds, but I have to just complete it. Oh yeah, I remember in that book I'm reading, what's the difficulty? So Shruta Kirti Prabhu, he went to Prabhupada and Prabhupada was chanting. And then he had last round. He just put that down, 16th round. And then he told, okay, now I finished my 16th round. Now I can do any damn thing. Prabhupada said that. To actually make them remind that we think like that, no? We think like that. Now I've finished 16th round. Now I can do any damn thing. But that's not the point. You missed the entire point. That's not the point. You're not here to finish chanting. So the attitude is wrong. Chanting is not another service. Chanting is the service. All other services are another service. This segregation, this category, we should always remember. It's not that other services are less important. But at the same time, it is like this. For example, Krishna is God, Radharani is under him. It doesn't make Radharani less important. But there's a priority. There is a Taratmaya. This is called Taratmaya. Taratmaya is... Taratmaya. You can say in South Indian. Taratmaya. So that means... what Taratmaya, how will... English, what's that English? Grades? No. Levels. Level. Grades. There are grades. So it doesn't mean one is lower, one is higher. So there are other services, but the service is chanting. So Sankirtanam. So if you do only Kirtanam, it lead to doubts. frustration, whether this process is working or not, what's happening. And that frustration will lead to offenses. And those offenses will lead to a downfall. So Kirtanam will destroy you, not Sankirtanam. Remember, this is a good insight. Mahaprabhu says Sankirtanam. And this is said by, this is said in Prem Vivarth. Jagdanath Pandit, he discusses entire book, and in the end he says, always mind it. The holy name, who can take you back to Godhead, who can make you meet Krishna face to face, the same holy name can lead you to hell. So it depends how we approach it. No? You have a revolver. It can win you awards, Nobel Prize. The same revolver can kill you, that's all. So, it's so powerful, you should know how to handle it. That's the idea. So that is Sankirtanam. One meaning is this. Okay. What's the another meaning of Sankirtanam? What is this one more meaning of Sankirtanam? What's that? I think two more meanings, not just one. One more meaning. Yeah, you can say. I think it's common sense. You can say. Yeah.
This is just maybe a mental concoction. It's just
that's okay. Right now. That's okay.
I was thinking even the whole glorification of holy names, Mahaprabhu is teaching by personal example by having Pancha Tattva, who are five elements of devotional service. And they all are...
That's why you are saying Sankirtan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, you can connect it, what I'm going to say. But this is something specific. I want general. This is okay. You're coming to the point. The point is, Sankirtanam means... I just wrote it here. Let me remember. Yeah. Sang means with faith and eagerness. Two things. Should always be there while chanting. Should have faith. I'm in contact with Lord when I'm chanting. You should have eagerness to serve Him. This is the best service I can offer to Krishna, no? So that Sankirtanam is this. With faith and eagerness. And which is brought by... So how do we get faith and eagerness? By hearing. How do we hear? Association of devotees. And that is why Sankirtanam means in association of devotees. But in association of devotees means this. In association of devotees, you hear, you develop faith and eagerness, and you associate with them. And then chant. That is the idea that Mahaprabhu wants to convey to us, Sankirtanam. And this kind of Sankirtanam, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam, this kind of Sankirtanam, Mahaprabhu is saying, all victorious. So Prabhupada says, I was reading in the Purport Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that without hearing, we were reading, hearing will make all other limbs perfect. Prabhupada says, Kirtanam is no doubt the topmost thing, but without hearing, you don't get perfection in Kirtanam. So, actually, sun refers to Shravanam. Shravanam and Kirtanam, that's a process. But Mahaprabhu didn't say Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Shravanam Kirtanam. He says Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam because Shravanam can be done in association of devotees. That's the idea. Or in other words, in association of devotees, the most important thing is Shravanam. That's what other way we have to look around. That's what we are to do here with devotees, that's all. Nothing else. If we can discuss 24 hours, perfect. If we can miss your prasad, no problem. So, but discuss things, that's what we have to do. So that's Sankirtanam. Okay, fine. And why does Mahaprabhu say Shri Krishna Sankirtanam? What that means? So Krishna means Krishna. Shri means, of course, Radha. Yeah, so Radha. So we are not devotees of Krishna. We are not devotees of Radha. We are devotees of Radha and Krishna. You should always remember. Only Krishna devotees, they don't advance. Only Radha devotees, they get destroyed.
Destroyed?
Yeah. because Radha is mercy. If you approach mercy without Krishna, you'll not be able to handle it. You get destroyed. We get lust. If we don't approach, if we don't understand Krishna first, we're not purified. You go to Radha, you get lust. That is what sahijas are there, no? They're doing. Gopis and all, they get destroyed. They get destroyed. So we also always remember, we are devotees of Radha and Krishna, both. Both. Radha, Krishna, Pran, Mohana, Jovala, Kishore. Narottam Das Thakur, always. It was Narottam Das Thakur who revealed to us this Manjari Bhav. Let me just tell you this. So our mood is not Gopi Bhav, our mood is Manjari Bhav. Gopi Bhav is only Krishna. But Manjari Bhav is Radha and Krishna. So that's our line of thinking. Which
dual
is yeah, dual, duality. We believe in duality. Dual compound, yeah. See, actually, yeah, actually, Madhva comments on that. Dual. So, oh, we were referring to, in Gita, Krishna says, of all compounds, I am dual compound. There, of all samas, I am dvanda samas. Because Krishna is remembering dvanda, Radha and Krishna. He is remembering both. So, he's using that dvanda, dvanda samas. No, it's Krishna is.
Don't take him literally.
It is grammatic also, but it is this also. Grammatically also, Dvanda Samas is the most used Samas, most common in Sanskrit. Ram Krishna or Lakshmi Narayan, it's the most common. Bahubali is also used, Tatpurush, but Dvanda is most common. So, yeah, that's Dvanda Samas. Yeah, I just finished last word, Param Vijayate Shikra Sankirtam. It's not finished. I have to finish. Start now first thing. Yeah.
Can you please elaborate on the first meaning of Sankirtanam? You said
that
with mind, intelligence, and
discipline. Yeah, it has to be just like we chant now, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Right. Mind is thinking something else. Our emotion is somewhere else. So we don't get desired result. We get bliss. That is why in one of the Upanishads, the name is Yoga Sanyas Upanishad. That yoga books. So you might have read four main books, na? Shiva Samhita, Grand Samhita, Hatha Yoga, Pratipika, Patanjali, Yoga Sutra. The four books. But there are other books of yoga, Yoga Sanyas Upanishad. And there's one more book, Dhyan Bindu Upanishad, which is actually used by traditional yogis, not academic. Academic, they don't teach this, Dhyan Bindu. But if you go to Aghoris, Nath Sampradaya people, and if you go to Himalaya, all these Nagababas, were like Pakka yogis, they know this book, Dhyan Bindu Upanishads, because this gives you the principles. And it says that any mantra you chant, if you want success in that mantra, your voice, your mind and your heart should be all on mantra. Otherwise you don't get success. And that's what we are doing here now. We are trying to, one day we want to bring all three together. That's how you check your mind. So by mind means thoughts, by heart means emotions, voice means voice. So that's, you got my point? So when you chant, you should have a lot of emotions for God. Emotions are not reserved for sahajas. It's not their property. Okay, I'm being emotional, I'm being sentimental. Sentimental is another thing. In the name of being sentimental, don't destroy emotions. That's also one, we have to be careful, it happens, no? It happens. Too much philosophy and then we think, oh, emotions are coming, oh, I'm being sentimental, no emotions. That's bad, because if you don't engage your emotions in Krishna, it will go somewhere else. So sentimental and having true emotions is a difference. Sentimental means he is just having emotions with no philosophical background, no thoughts. But we are trying to synthesize thoughts and emotions and voice. And that is good. That is desired actually. Without emotions, you can't take big leaps. It's impossible. You can't fly a plane higher. It's impossible. That's very important. Krishna Bhavanamritam, that's what is there. But at our stage, emotions mean attitude. Got my point? Because you can't even produce emotions artificially. That you can't do. So that is the genius of Rupa Goswami in Nectar Devotion. All other acharyas, they recommended, okay, have emotions. And people were doing that. And they were like becoming sahajyas. Because they were artificially producing emotions. Oh, my Krishna and all these. That's okay. But then why do you want to do things artificially? You know? So the point is, that's where Rupa Goswami says, okay, fine. Emotions at the stage of sadhak, it translates as attitude. If you have proper attitude, then they will develop into proper emotions. Spontaneous emotions, let me say. And then you advance. So, bhava and cheshta, these are two words used. So, bhava is translated as cheshta at the level of sadhana. So, sadhana bhakti is also called cheshta rupi bhakti. Cheshta means attitude. And that is why, at the level of sadhana, philosophy is important to correct the attitude. So, that's very important. Okay, so that is why he says, Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Param Vijayate, Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Okay, that's over. Now let's start from the first line. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives seven qualifications, seven glorifications for holy name. And the first glorification he gives is Cheto Darpana Marjanam. That's pretty much simple. Holy name helps to clean the mirror, the dust on the mirror of the soul. Now what's that dust? What do we want to clean? Quick, you can tell, then I can go next. What do you want to clean? What's the problem? Okay, good. Material desires. Anything else?
Impressions. Strong impressions.
That desires. Anything else?
False ego. That also comes.
Probably it comes here. Yeah.
Material desires might come because of false ego.
Okay, fine. False ego. Material desires. False ego means enjoying spirit. Enjoying spirit, you want to get rid of it? And doubts. Doubts. This is said by Madhvacharya. Bhakti Thakur, as it is quotes in his book Bhajan Rahasya. Prabhupada also says many times and so many places. Three things we have to get rid of. This is the problem with us. Three things. Samshaya. That is doubts in all philosophy. Second is our avesh. Avesh, you understand? Avesh means, how do we translate avesh as English?
Literal translation.
Induction? No, it's some matter. Avesh
matlab anger?
No, avesh means bhoot chadh jana. Matlab English mein kaise kahenge?
Ajosh.
Yeah, probably. Enthusiasm to enjoy. We have to get rid of it. That enthusiasm to enjoy, we have to get rid of it. Enjoying propensity will be there, and it's very difficult to get rid of it. You can get rid of enjoying propensity at higher stages, but at our stage, what we can work on is to get rid of enthusiasm to enjoy, at least. We should not be enthusiastic. It will be there, but we should not be enthusiastic. So, That's the point which Krishna says, Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam. Don't be enthusiastic. Little bit enjoyment you need. Everybody needs to sustain a body. You need to take bath. That is also an enjoyment, but that's required until unless you are liberated, no? So, enthusiasm. Avesh, samshay, avesh. And this word avesh comes from Bhagavatam. Which verse it comes from? Quiz. Dvitiya abhineveshita syat ishadapitasya viparya smriti tanmayaya buddhavachetam guru devatatma. It's famous verse. Prabhupada used to quote so many times. Dvitiya abhineveshita syat. Abhinevesh. Avesh. We have an enthusiasm. Abhinevesh. We are possessed by a ghost of enjoyment. That's what Bhagavatam says. So that's the second thing. Samshay, avesh or abhinevesh. And the third thing is this, Ichha. Ichha dvesha samuttena. Ichha. Desires. Or samskaras. You can write like that. Samskara or Ichha. So these three things are the problem, and we have to get rid of it. So why I am talking about these things is because when you chant holy name, you have to do something else also, because Sankirtanam, no? So Kirtanam handles our samskars. It wipes off our desires. Okay? And it also helps us to get rid of enjoying propensity. But, okay, Kirtanam helps us in getting rid of our samskars, because that we can't do anything. That's our impressions, no? What do you do with that? That Kirtanam will wipe off. Enjoying Avesh. For Avesh, you need association of devotees to get positive Avesh. No? That is the Sankirtanam. Sang. If you see enthusiastic devotees, you lose enthusiasm there, you get enthusiasm here. No? And then last is Samshay. Samshay in association, you have to hear. Hear, discuss to get philosophical doubts. To get rid of doubts. That is why Mahaprabhu says Sankirtanam. If it is not Sankirtanam, you can't have Chaitodarpanam Arjanam. You can't have that fully. You understand? So there's a link. That is why first I discussed last Param Vijayate. Because then we can't understand. We can't understand. Then we'll be arguing, you know, okay, let's only chant and why other things. Other things required. So that's Chaitodarpanam Arjanam. Always remember these things. Okay, Bhav Mahadavagani Nirvapanam. One more point in this Chaitodarpanam Arjanam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving another esoteric teaching to us, secret teaching. He is saying, can anybody think of some other secret which Mahaprabhu wants to give? Any bizarre speculation, you can speculate, open to that. There's some very important point in this. I'll give you a hint. Entire Sri Sampradaya is based on that concept. Is it a hint or it is another question? But that's a hint from my side. Yeah?
I thought Sri Sampradaya was based on serving Krishna.
Serving? Okay, yeah. That's the one point. What's another point? There are two points which Mahaprabhu took from Sri Sampradaya. Another point on which this point is based. If you know that, you know this. Okay. So another thing is Sri Sampradaya, there's important concept. One is serving Vaishnavas. Another thing which Mahaprabhu took from Sri Sampradaya was that Krishna is both means and end. He's both. That's Sri Sampradaya, especially Tenkalai people. Both means and ends. That's our thing. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, well, holy name is both end and means. When you develop love, holy name. When you are beginning to purify ourselves, again holy name. So by Chetodarpanam Arjanam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is bringing that concept and emphasizing on that. Always remember, holy name is both means and end. It is not that after purifying yourself, then you take to holy name, no. Or after getting purified, you leave holy name. No. It will be always be along with you. Two things will always be there with us. Just like Gadadhar Pandit was always with Mahaprabhu. In Bengal, in Odisha. That is holy name, first. And what's the second? Always it has to be with us. Otherwise we'll fall down.
Association.
Yeah, Sankirtanam. Devotees. That's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna bhakti jan mool hoy sadhu sang. Krishna prem paive teho pune mukhe hang. So, for the birth of devotion, you need association of devotees. And when you attain love, still you need association of devotees. Both cases. So, initially you need association of devotees for Chaitodarpanam Arjanam. Later you need association of devotees for Purna Amrita Aswadanam, to taste Aswadanam. No, you are purified, but then why do you need association? To taste devotional mellows. No? So both things you need association. That is why this Sankirtanam word is for all of them. You get my point? It is not that, okay, fine. Kirtanam, Sankirtanam is for initial stages. Afterwards only Kirtanam. when you advance, you don't need association. No, Sankirtanam is always there and will always be there. Both Shravanam and Kirtanam, you can't delete that. This is genius of Mahaprabhu, no? He's saying Sankirtanam. Okay, this is Chetodarpanam Arjanam. So it's both mean sentence, yeah. There is one verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna reveals this concept of both means and end. Can you quote that verse from Bhagavad Gita? Is any verse where Krishna is emphasizing this point? Huh? Remember that any verse? Devotion is both means and ends. It's famous words, very famous. When I'll tell you, you will leave this place and you'll drown yourself. It's very famous. So, what's that verse? That verse is, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mamveti tatvata. Right in this verse is used by Ramanujacharya to establish his Sri Sampradaya, to establish the concept of Krishna as both means and ends. And he says, out of thousands of people, one try for perfection. Out of many people who try for perfection, one gets liberated. And out of many people who get liberated, only one understands me. Now Ramanujacharya makes a twist here. He says what Krishna says. Out of many people who get liberated, one understands me. How? Out of many people who get liberated, one understands that only by God's grace I can get liberated. And liberation actually means attaining God. Kaschin mam vetti tatvataha. He knows me as it is, no? Vetti tatvataha. So he comes to understand that Krishna, that without Krishna I can't get liberation. Get my point? So he's a means and his ends. You got my mind? So Ramanujacharya uses this verse. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and without him, it's not possible. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Sorry to interrupt. I had a question earlier. You mentioned the point that chanting Hare Krishna can also lead you to hell.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's long back.
I just wanted to also confuse as to how is that possible, because I've heard elsewhere that if you chant Hare Krishna even once in your next life,
You're right. Yeah. Prabhupada said in one of his letters, he wrote a letter to GBC, and he told them, if you're not careful, you will have to see Yamraj. You will have to see Yamraj. It's a letter to GBC. And he told, you can go to hell. So the point is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this. If you do with offenses, bahu janma jadi kare shravan kirtan tabuna paaye Krishna prem dhan. So what he says, if you do offenses, Krishna will forgive you. If you do again offenses, he'll forgive you. If you do again offenses, he'll forgive you. If you keep on doing offenses, and if you don't correct yourself, then to correct you, he will have to take some measures. And by his grace, he will send you to hell. So that you realize there, the problem with me was I was doing offenses, and I was not trying to correct myself. So that's the idea. You can go to hell also. It's not pakka. I mean to say, in general, it is said, if you chant holy names properly, no problem. You get chance and everything. But if you do offenses again and again and again and again, you have to suffer. That's all. Just like Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Gopal Chapal. He did offense against holy name. He had to suffer, no? His nose got... And then Mahaprabhu came to him. You know, his nose melted. He told something against holy name. He did offense. And his nose melted and he was just rotting around in fields. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking by. He came and he prayed to Lord Chaitanya, please forgive me, you know, that, you know, I am so much suffering. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told, you rascal, you're suffering, you will suffer millions of lives. There's no suffering. And he was, what's happening, you know? So it can be done. If you do offense against holy name, well, you are finished. So that's the idea. That's the idea. So Prabhupada, there are many things said at many places. We have to get them together. Prabhupada also says many things. Be careful. Be careful. Don't do offenses. And if otherwise, if everything was okay, then why do we have this list of offenses, first of all? Then no need of list. Simple. Simply chant, Mahaprabhu would have said. But then he's warning us. You can fall down. That's all.
So what you're saying is when we go out and preach and tell people, even minds we chant the holy name.
Yeah, for them that's okay. Okay, fine.
So
no, wait.
No,
you don't go to hell. Fine. So all these things, when I'll go to next verse, I'll discuss this Namnamakari, if I'm able to do that. But you have to understand, Namabhas, Namaprath, properly. That's the point. If you tell to ordinary people, even once chanting, you can go back to Golok, that's perfectly alright for him. Because he will not do offense. He doesn't know what is offense. No. He doesn't know. He's in ignorance. And he's just starting. And okay, fine. Krishna forgives. But for us, for 20 years person or 10 years in movement, he knows everything. And still he does. That's offense. Offense is when you do things in knowledge. Get my point? When you do things in knowledge, that is offense. But when you do things in ignorance, that's not offense. If a child comes here and if he just do whatever, we don't mind. But if you do, if you start jumping, this is complete nonsense. You know what's etiquette. He doesn't know. So that's the idea, no? So that is Namabhas, Namabhas. So it's a little tricky. So yeah, it's tricky. So we have to understand these things properly. So I think it's clear to you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, with advancement comes responsibility.
Yeah, with advancement you are responsible for what you are doing. Just like in Bhagavatam it is said, so in Kaliyug your thoughts are excused. If you think bad thoughts, you are excused. But you know there's another side of it. You are excused of thinking bad in Kaliyug only when you do not know that it is bad. If you don't know this fact, then you're excused. But after you know this fact, then you're not excused. Then you're entangled. So ignorance is bliss, no? Don't know anything, and but that also doesn't serve the purpose. So we can't use this statement to keep on thinking bad. No? Because then it is seventh offense. Well, to commit sinful activities on the strength of holy name, then it amounts to that. So okay, fine. Krishna is tricky. If you try to trick him, he's tricky. He will catch you somewhere or other. That's the point. No, so that's a good example you can keep in your mind. So whenever in scriptures it is said, once chanting holy name, you go back to Golok. You get human life and all. That is for people. You have to see to whom it is said. On what stage it is said. And there are other things also. You have to see. Okay. Okay, so that is Cheto Darpanam Arjanam. And then comes Bhav Mahadavagani Nirvapanam. What that means? When a heart becomes purified, then we will, Bhav Mahagadavagini means birth and death, cycle of birth and death. Then we will be able to stop the cycle of birth, and holy name has a power not only to purify you, but also to stop the cycle of birth and death. And this is important to know, because there are two types of impurities. Or obstacles, you can say. Two types of obstacles on our path of devotion. One obstacle is what we can handle. Another obstacle is what we can't handle. So the first obstacle, enjoying propensity, doubts, that we can handle. We can work on. But birth and death, we can't work on. That is special prerogative of Krishna. But my point, if he wants, we are out of birth or death. If he doesn't want, we can be pure and still be here. No? So holy name has both power. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava davagini nirvapanam. In other words, holy name has a power to purify us, to control us, and also to control Krishna. Holy name will make Krishna favorable towards us, so that he will take us back to birth and death. That's holy name. So by these first two lines, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is glorifying holy name. Holy name is even greater than Krishna. Krishna's name is even greater than Krishna. It can control Krishna. It can make Krishna do what is otherwise impossible. It can induce Krishna to think about you and take you out of birth and death. Is it? Krishna is so great. Why he should think about us and take us out of birth and death? I mean to say, it's a big thing, no? To give us liberation. Why he should give us? What we have done for him? How much we'll do for him? Even if we do so much for him, still there's a list. And on that list there is Dhruva Maharaj, Prabhupada, and if you compare, what do you do with that? So there's no chance of liberation if we are alone. But because of holy name's interference, that's possible. He will induce him. And that's what is these both lines talking about. And that is a glorification of holy name. You remember? By this verse we are glorifying holy name, no? We are not talking about ourselves. Our purification, our liberation. So you have to understand, ultimately it goes back to holy name, okay. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Shreya Kaireva. Oh yeah, anyway, before this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that when you chant holy name properly, Bhamada Bhagini Nirvapana means even before becoming liberated from birth and death, you will become liberated while you are living, which is called as Jivan Mukti. Okay, so what is that verse? Rupa Goswami says, Manasagirim Jivan Mukta Sauchyate. Yeah, this is verse from Nectar of Devotion. Iha Yasya Harir Dasya. Anybody who serves Krishna, Karmana Manasagirim, by actions, mind, and voice. Nikhil api avasthasu, all times, at all avastha, nikhil, all avastha, jivan mukta sauchyate, he is liberated, even while living. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Krishna, holy name will make you like a lotus flower. You are in the ocean of miseries, but you are above it. You will not experience that. Okay? And then, Shreya Kaireva Chandrika Vitarnam, not only it will make you lotus flower, but it will also blossom that lotus flower. Shreya Kaireva Chandrika Vitarna. What do you mean by this? Can anybody tell me? Shreya Kaireva Chandrika Vitarna. What do you mean by this? What is literal translation for this? Yeah, Shreya means benediction. Prabhupada says Kaireva means white lotus. Chandrika means moonlight. Cooling moonlight. Vitarna means spreading. So, what do you mean by this? What do you mean by this? What is holy name doing?
Cooling moonlight. I think that white lotus of cooling moonlight.
Yeah, so what? So why this example and what is cooling moonlight?
Is it that some of the lotus flowers, like the white lotus, it opens only when it sees moonlight?
Yeah. So, yeah, continue. Once you have to complete it, and then things will happen. Yeah?
For our hearts, the benedictions only come. It's comparison between the benedictions of holy name and those.
Well, I want some clear answer. It's not clear, no? I think you're not clear. You know. You're not clear about that. Okay. You know what? This is called as Maya. You know, there's so many years we have been chanting this. What we don't know. You don't have to go out to understand what is Maya. This is illusion. We are an illusion. We are chanting. Every day we chant, no, in morning, at least in temples. But we don't know what we are doing. So that is illusion. Illusion is when you do, but you don't know what you are doing. That is illusion. If you really ask me, what is not? If you want to explain that, that is illusion. Illusion is not that you don't do. That is not illusion. Is when you do, but you don't know what you are doing. Just like magician, he'll hypnotize you. So you're doing what you don't know. That is illusion. So you have to be careful of it. You have to. So that means illusion works not when you are not doing devotion. Illusion will work when you are doing devotion. And you will do wrong thing, but you will not do that. But you will not come to know that you are doing wrong thing. That is illusion. Huh? Yeah, when you get to know, that's mercy, but this is illusion. Because generally we think Maya means, okay, now I'm not doing devotion, so that's Maya. That is not really Maya. That is, you're not doing anything. Fine, you're out of it. That's all. You have left it. So, but real action of Maya is in the temple. You understand? Not outside temple. Yeah, so you have to be careful. Otherwise, what's the meaning of Maya? Maya is Maya, you know. She's expert. So you have to be very careful when you are in the temple and with devotees and when you are doing things. That's where she will be more forceful. When you are out, no need. Anyway, you are out. It doesn't need to work much. So that is mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance is defined like that. Mode of ignorance is when you consider right as wrong, wrong as right. Is it? That's mode of ignorance. So that's, you don't know what you're doing.
You cannot differentiate.
Yeah, so you don't know what you're exactly doing, you know. You think and what you don't think. So, yeah. So that is, so Shreya Kaireva Chandrika Pitarna means that Krishna will make us like a lotus. We'll be above miseries. And the holy name, it'll, by its mercy, it'll blossom the lotus. That means it'll blossom the lotus of our heart. And when lotus blossoms, flower blossoms, what comes? Fragrance. And the fragrance of attachment to Lord will fill your mind, will fill your intelligence, fill your body. That is the meaning of Shriya Kaireva Chandrika Vedanna. We will get attachment to Lord. Fragrance of the lotus flower will fill your body.
That is what is vitaranam.
Yeah, vitaranam, yeah, it's spreading. What is spreading? Attachment to Lord fills your mind, fills your consciousness, that interest. And that is what is Shriya Kaireva Chandrika Vitaranam. Okay, so that happens at this level. That is the glories of holy name. And then Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. What do you mean by this? This might be tricky, but what do you mean by this? Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. What's that? Oh, really? You don't know? This is whatever demigods, demigods, I don't know. They're supposed to know. So, what do you mean by this? Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. So, well, Vidya means knowledge. Vadhu means bride. Jivana means life. Holy name is a bride of transcendental knowledge. Now, what do you mean by this? There are two meanings for this. Two meanings. One meaning is, holy name is a life of knowledge. That means, if you chant holy name properly, you get wisdom. By the grace of holy name, you will get knowledge. Knowledge for what? Knowledge to break your false ego. That's the real knowledge. And that Krishna will not give. He will hide. He wants to hide that. Because once you break false ego, you know your constitutional nature. Finish. Other things he'll give you. No problem. But this knowledge he will not give you. To break your false ego. That wisdom by which you can understand that I have faults. That wisdom by which you can always remember that before looking faults on others, let me look at my faults and try to correct us, ourselves, no? That wisdom is not easily available. So that wisdom he'll give, that is Vidya Vadu Jeevanam.
Oh, I didn't understand the comparison to bride.
Yeah. Bride means, just like bride is chaste to the husband, similarly, holy name is chaste to wisdom. If you're chaste to holy name, it will give you knowledge, wisdom. They go together. That's why bride is used. But so actually, vadhu doesn't really mean bride. Bride is English word, but you don't have any parallel word for that. Vadhu means bahu. Bahu. Like, No. So vadhu means bride, but she's a chaste wife, chaste bride, vadhu. So bahu means bahu means daughter-in-law for the mother. But if she's chaste, she is called as vadhu, not bahu. So that's second level, vadhu. That is why it is used. That it is used in the term of chastity. If you're chaste to holy name, you get wisdom. If you're not chaste, you don't get anything. That's all. This is one meaning. And another esoteric meaning is Vidya Vadhu Jeevana means Vidya is what? Krishna. Krishna says, I am Vidya, I am knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita, he says no. And Vadhu is bride. Who is bride of Krishna? Radha. Jeevanam is life. Holy name is life of Srimati Radharani. She is always chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna to relieve herself from separation. So that's why it is said, Golokera Premadhana Harinam Sankirtan. We say that, no? So that is one understanding of this line, Vidya Vadhu Jeevanam. So that holy name is property of Radha. So we are chanting Hare Krishna. We have taken the property of Radha. So we have to take care of it now properly. It is so precious to Radharani. We have to take care. And if we mess up with this, then Krishna will become really angry. You know, it is his Radha's property, and you can't mess it up with it. So you have to chant properly. Give it proper attention. No. If it was Krishna's, then he would have forgiven, no? Okay, fine, it is mine and you took it. Okay, you mess up, no, I forgive. But it is not his. It belongs to Radha. So we have to be careful with that. Vidya Vadhu Jeevanam, Anandam Budhi Vardhanam. And if we are chaste to holy name, we not only get wisdom, but we get Anandam Budhi Vardhanam. We get bliss. We get rag. Or, in other words, we get vairag. Vairagya. Vairagya means both things. Vairagya means, vai means viprit, viprit rag, detachment. Vairagya also means vishisht rag, attachment. So vairagya has both things. Janyati ashu vairagyam, that verse is there. So vairagya means both, detachment and attachment. Both things are there. So that's anandam budhi vardhanam. Ocean of bliss will expand. Ocean of bliss will expand.
Does it refer back to the lotus? The ocean changes?
No, this is another example, yeah. Your ocean of bliss will expand. That means in other words, it means that you will start tasting rasa. How it will expand? What do you mean by that? It's not a poetry. After you become attached to Lord, you attain to level of bhava. And you start experiencing rasas, different mellows with Krishna. That is what means expanding. Now also we are experiencing bliss, but it's not expanding because we are not relishing rasas with Krishna. No? Madhurya Dasiras, we are not experiencing. So our ocean is not expanding. It's in a danger, you know, to get. Our ocean is in a danger to get evaporated or something. to become extinct. But that ocean is expanding. And then, Pratipadam Purn Amrita Swadanam. So what that means? What's the meaning of this little translation? Pratipadam Purn Amrita Swadanam. So what do you mean by that? This is poetry, but... Oh yeah, I asked translation. Yeah.
That's it, courageously spoke.
At every step, yeah. Purna Amrita Swadanam. Full nectar aswadanam. You will... Every step you will experience full bliss. Full nectar. What? Why Mahaprabhu is using here the word nectar? Why is not using the word bliss? Purna, so what do we call it? Huh? Yeah, Purna Ananda Swadanam. Same, Anandam Buddhi. But he's using Amrit. So there has to be something. I mean, Mahaprabhu doesn't speak anything like that. He's not thinking, oh, well, I repeat the word Ananda, so let me substitute for that. He's God. He uses the word Amrit, yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah, you can say that, eternal.
Or it won't be exhausted.
Yeah, you can say that. He's saying Purn Amrit. Purn means full. Amrit means nectar. It's always full. It's always new. You don't get bored. That's the idea. You get bored. It's always new, always full. And keeps on increasing. But there's another meaning to it. And the another meaning to it is, actually, whenever we use the word Amrit in Sanskrit, in philosophical, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Amrit means nectar. And nectar is supposed to dissolve your heart, no? To melt your heart. The nectar of devotion will melt your heart. So, and melting means, when we say, my heart melted by the nectar of bliss, no? We say that, no? So what nectar does, it melts your heart. When your heart melts, melting means you get eagerness to attain Krishna. So that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to convey us. When you attain so much bliss in service of Lord, then one day will come, you will want to meet Him face to face. Purna Amrit Asvadanam. You want to fully taste that nectar. That nectar like moon like face of Lord. Nectar is Krishna. Raso Vaisa, He is nectar. So you want to taste that nectar fully. This means you want to meet Him. That's why using the word Purna, fully. You are tasting that nectar before also, in chanting, but that's not full because you're not confronting God face to face. Confront is not a good word. You're not meeting God face to face, no? So here Purna, full means meeting Lord. Got my point? And Amrit means eagerness to meet Him face to face. And aswadana means at every step, holy name will create an intense eagerness in your heart. Every step, you will want to meet Him. Every moment, you will be desperate to meet Him face to face. So aren't we meeting Him face to face now? In deity's form? What do you say for that? Okay, you can say, yeah, we don't have attraction. But if you have attraction, then we are not meeting Him face to face.
That way also, if you think of it in that sense, there's also the shloka where we say, Samadarshita, Pandita Samadarshita. At one point we will see the spirit soul in everybody. At that point, we recognize the Lord is also in everyone.
Well,
that is not the full flavor of the Lord.
I am asking you whether we are meeting Krishna face to face now, not no or yes, now.
I'm saying that, like the Brahma Sutta says, there will be so many candles. There is one main candle that lights it all.
Okay.
The book is a book. The book is Krishna. Actually, it is Krishna. The Paramatma in the heart is also Krishna.
What do you want?
There is one Krishna.
Which one?
Whom we want to see. The one we go to.
Okay, but that's my question. So do you mean to say there's a difference between Golok Krishna and deities? This is not Krishna?
No, but there's a difference in the flavor you can achieve.
Really? So you can't taste the same flavors with deities?
Not as much.
Really? What's the evidence for that? And then, and then that's speculation. It might be a good point, but we need evidence.
Yeah, yes. The Sanskrit was told that you cannot see deities. You can hear him, and by hearing you can see him.
Well, we are not
you
seeing.
Don't have the eyes.
No, but we can't see him now.
Our eyes are not purified enough to see.
No, but when you become purified, then you will not see him.
Of course, you can see him everywhere. In fact, Lord Chaitanya used to embrace Buddha.
Okay.
Palm tree, and he is embracing this palm tree at the emblem of Lord Chaitanya. Ramchandra's pastime.
Okay. Near to that point. Yeah, fine.
It's not that when we want to see, only when Krishna wants us to see him, or he. That's when actually even the realizations come. So nothing is in our control, basically.
Okay, one thing I just want to ask you. Now, Mahaprabhu says I want to meet him face to face. Okay. Now my question is, when you come into this temple, you're not seeing him or you're seeing him? Just tell me this. Yes or no?
Yes.
He's there, no? Otherwise, why you're coming here? So leave your philosophy outside. Simple answer. We are seeing him. So then, what's the point? Then how about you're eager for seeing him? Like, what's the point? That's my question. Even if you come here and you see him, still you will be eager to see him. How do you solve this paradox? That's my question. Got my point?
Mm.
It's a deeper question than what we are thinking now.
So, it is true that the deity form is no different from Krishna, and this paradox which is saying that we will be even more eager, I think this is the reciprocation between the Lord and the devotee. Just like the pastime of how between the brother recipients, Krishna reciprocates and their.
Okay. Okay, you are to that point nearby. You have come to the point. Yeah, Deepa.
Yeah. And on top of it, basically, though we are coming to a temple, the association or the darshan is only limited till it's very flickering. It's not constant.
No.
So you know, even if you are not in front of the deity, it's like that goal is to be with Krishna.
So let me put things together. The point is, it should be clear. Point is, we are seeing him, but Mahaprabhu is eager to see him. You know what? The point is, your point. We are seeing him, but we don't know whether he's seeing us.
Yes.
That's the problem there. So it's not, we are not meeting him. We are seeing him, but we are not meeting him. You understand? If you come here and if I don't see you, you see me, but I'm not seeing you. You're not meeting me. You never met me. There's no meeting. There's no appointment, no meeting. So you become eager to meet Krishna. That's the word I used, meet. I didn't use the word see. You remember if I used? So that's the difference. We want to meet him face to face. We want, when we come here, we see him. He sees her. We can talk to him. And he acknowledges that, okay, fine. That's when you'll say, I met him.
How do you understand this in relation to the explanations that we hear about the interaction between the pujari and the deity, and the way Krishna interacts with you? You can see the deity, the Lord is the deity, and there is a reciprocation.
Yeah, if you're reciprocating, then you're meeting him. But the point is, but still you will be eager to meet him. You know why? Because when you meet him, then there's a fear of separation. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. With the meeting comes a fear of separation. And when the fear of separation comes, that eagerness to meet, it increases more rather than dying. And that is Mahaprabhu's, that is philosophy of Mahaprabhu, Vipulambha. That is what Mahaprabhu is coming to teach us. You understand? So that's how it works. So that is Pratipadam Purna Amrita Svatanam. That is there in this word. See, these words are codes to decode it. It is not said by Bachcha, no. It is said by Lord Chaitanya. It is God speaking. And especially the God of love. And not only the God of love, but the God of the highest pinnacle of love. And when he speaks, every word of his is love actually. There is packed with meaning. This is what the meaning is. That's how we are trying to decode it. Purnamita Svatanam. And then is Sarvatmana Snapanam. This is seventh. What do you mean by this Sarvatmana Snapanam? What's a little thing? And then we'll go in this. Drown, yeah.
It drowns everyone in Purnamrita.
Okay, yeah. This holy name drowns everyone in the chanting of. Okay, if you leave everyone, then what about us? If you take one person, what do you mean by that?
In your whole mind and soul is
changed. Okay, Sarvatmana means, Atma means many things. Mind, body, soul, intelligence, senses. Everything becomes drowned by chanting holy names. What do you mean by drowning? It's a metaphor, it's a poetry. What do you mean by drowning? Everything is drowned. What do you mean by that?
When you drown it, you are completely filled. Inside, outside.
What do you mean by that? What will happen when you are filled? How do you know you are filled? You have to know you are filled, no? Yeah, yeah. There is
nothing else apart from the love from Krishna.
You know what? Sometimes we feel, you know, when we are dancing and chanting, I am filled. But then suddenly we become empty. So then we never filled ourselves, no? How do we know that we are truly filled? No.
No attraction for anything else.
Okay, good, yeah. No attraction. I told you, no attraction for anything else. Yeah, truly filled.
The last verse you mentioned, filled. When you are filled from us, then you feel like you're completely, like, getting there.
See, actually, yeah. See, the point is, when you chant holy names, and what happens is, you develop bliss in your heart. It starts from the heart. And when you keep on chanting, then that bliss spreads. Ananda Ambuti Vardhanam. You know, Vardhanam. It spreads to your entire body, to all your senses. When that bliss goes and touches your ears, it'll touch your ears. As soon as it touches your senses, it touches your ears, symptom will be your ears will want to hear glories of Lord. As soon as that bliss will come up, and it touches your mouth, you want to chant more and more. It comes and touches your nose, you want to smell Krishna. You want to smell his body. You become eager to meet him and smell his body. So that's how this bliss, it spreads. It spreads contagiously, slowly, slowly. It fills your hand, you want to do something for him. You want to use your hand. So that's how I feel. Sarvatmana snapanam. It percolates our body just like cancer. And wherever it goes, it destroys. Srimati Radharani says, Chaitanya Prabhu says, this love is like a poison. It's nectar, but it's a poison. It is destroying me day by day, bit by bit. It's burning me. No? Antalila. So that's how, you know.
Prabhu, the way you said it, it looks like first the bliss and then actually it comes up to the senses. But is it not that at our stage we engage our senses, we start hearing, we start doing service and then the bliss comes?
Yeah, first you engage your senses, then bliss comes. Again. Then again bliss goes and your senses are more engaged. And then again senses, again that gives.
That is why the statement, you know, giving so many more ears to hear.
Yeah, that's the statement. Yeah. Vishwanath Chakri Thakuri says. So that's how Sarvatmana Snapanam, that's devotee's life. That is devotee's life. So one way to know that your chanting is perfect is when you chant your rounds nicely, you will feel like chanting more, and because that bliss will go here, and you will feel like hearing about glories of Lord if it bliss goes here. And if that's not happening, either your bliss is restricted to only some portion of your heart, or it's not there. It's not there. You're not really accessing what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us. He has come to give us this first verse. You're not accessing that.
So if the bliss is not coming, or like you said, we are not having the desire to chant more or hear more, the solution is to engage the senses more?
No, solution is to, this means we are doing kirtanam, we are not doing sankirtanam. Sang, that's what sang. Kirtanam is offensive. Only kirtanam. Because it's not backed up back sang. So there's doubts, there's frustration. So there's sang. So they are missing in sang, you are missing in shravanam. Shravanam means three things. Either you have doubts, either you have enjoying propensity, you're not associating with enthusiastic devotees. These can be three problems, no? Three things. We are not associating with good devotees who are renounced. That is why grihasthas should associate with renounced people. Of course, in ISKCON, things are going something funny. In ISKCON, this idea is coming. Grihasthas should associate with grihasthas and renounced with renounced. But I don't buy this idea because it's everywhere. Grihasthas should associate with sannyasis, no? That's the idea. At least in India, that's the idea. You know, it's coming up. I don't know here in America, it's like that. But with devotees who are renounced, and then we lose enjoying propensity. Either that is a problem. We are associating, but we are not associating with a renounced person. Or not just renounced person. I mean to say person who has renunciation in his heart. He might be householder. I am not just saying householder. Who likes renunciation. Who likes renunciation. Yeah, advanced, yeah, you can say advanced. But yeah, qualifying advanced is who likes renunciation. Because there are many devotees in ISKCON, so many years, but they don't really like renunciation. Be renounced and liking renounced is a different thing, no? Liking, all this, okay. And, or third thing was, what was the third thing? Doubts, avesh,
Icha,
desires. Or we are leading a life in such a way which is making us, which is making our desires more, what can I say? Yeah, which is increasing our desires. Our lifestyle is like that. So then you have to work on your lifestyle. I'm talking lifestyle, you have to work. You have to change your lifestyle so that your lifestyle makes your desires, checks your desires, you know, it doesn't come up. These three problems.
Second point, desire to enjoy Icha.
No, desires is different. Desires is like, okay, desire to enjoy, from desire to enjoy comes desires. So enjoying propensity is different. I want to enjoy. Okay, then I have many desires. I want car, I want shop, I want cell phone, I want this. Yeah, like that. Huh? Yeah, beach, pub and all these things. Huh? So you have to work on that. So now it makes sense, no? Because sometimes we keep on doing and we think, you know, nothing is happening. What to do? We don't know what to do, no? Practically, we don't understand what to do, no? Because we think we are doing everything.
It's over and above the fact that we wake up in the morning, we don't sleep often, don't dream.
Yeah, it's over and above that.
So I stay focused, I listen to the holy name, I pronounce it properly, and I do my 16 rounds, and I still don't get
it. Yeah, it happens, no?
Yes.
It's practical, it's not theory. It's practical, sometimes, many times, we do everything, still no taste.
So then
this means we have to focus on sun, not kirtanam. We are doing kirtanam, but we are not doing sun now. That and sang is defined what I defined now. Sang doesn't mean you sit together and chant. You can do that, no problem.
What about the doubts?
I'm not against that.
I understand your poor association and your avish and desire. What about the doubts?
Doubts you have to associate with some devotee who is knowledgeable. And you can get rid of your doubts. You have to.
Sometimes you don't even realize you have doubts. You know,
Yeah. Sometimes we think everything is clear. Many times we feel, no, ISKCON, it's a disease of thinking. It's a disease that I'm, well, it's easy, I know, it's clear. But it's not, no? It's a good thing. So that is why we have to choose an advanced devotee and associate with him. He will tell you, okay, Baba, this is the problem there. And you have to tune in. So association is the important. That's why all Shastra says association. We have to get in touch with. They are good devotees. You have to get in touch with them. So good devotees, what they will do? They will make you realize that you're not up to the mark. That's a good devotee. That's how you know it's a good company. If you are having a devotee and if you're taking association, and then you scratch my back, I scratch your back. I mean, that's a phrase here in America. They do it like that. So Ram Milai Jodiye Gandha Hai Kodi. That's so then. Then you can be, what's the point? You don't advance. You can be together, of same level. You can be there, no problem. You have friends, but to advance, you need advance. And they will criticize you.
But also needs to have an ability for introspection.
Huh?
You need to have the ability to introspect.
Yeah, so if you associate with that devotee, then introspection. Just like when they will.
We rarely tolerate introspection of others. Mm-hmm. If we can have a little bit of introspective capacity.
Yeah.
It helps to accept.
Yeah.
I hear a lot of people say, I have anarthas. I know, sir. But I hear it for decades. But then to be able to move the anartha is something different from.
I am fallen. Well, I know you're fallen, so what's the big deal? That's not a dialogue. That's not humility. I told you that's not humility. That's reality. You have to repeat reality again and again. Krishna knows. He becomes bored. You're fallen. I know you're fallen. Now get lost. So we have to make Krishna happy. Our idea is not to reiterate reality for him. He knows better than us, no? Isn't it? So we can say, but that's why to say that. If you want to say that, then you become advanced. You become advanced, you become pure, and then you say, I'm fallen. Then Krishna will be happy. Now I'm happy. Haridas Thakur, he was happy. Haridas Thakur was saying, I'm fallen. Mahaprabhu says, no. Rupa Goswami said, I'm fallen. Mahaprabhu said, no, my heart is breaking, no? He said. No, Mahaprabhu was happy because they were not really fallen. That is humility. So this statement.
So what is humility for us then?
Oh, I explained it in the previous seminar, core concepts. You are not there. So, I have not even finished first verse. Yeah. So it is there in core concepts. But humility I defined as. Humility Mahaprabhu defines as, if one line, Chaitanya Charitamrita Antalila, he says, Uttam hoya apna ke mane hin. Uttam hoya. When you're uttam, when you're advanced, uttam means when you're pure, still you consider yourself hin, nothing. Then that is humility. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased by Pratap Rudra. He was not pleased by sweepers. There were so many other people sweeping, no? So, we should not be so much engrossed in all these things, It's, I'm fallen, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. Forget it, Work on yourself. And then these things make sense. Otherwise, not. Our idea is to please Krishna. Our idea is not to just accept reality. That's the first stage, accepting reality. We know, okay, fine. We have accepted it. Now it's to please Krishna. That's how these things work. So, if you want to please Krishna, and if you want to tell something to him, tell him, Krishna, I don't even understand that I am fallen. That's humility. Is it? That is humility. I think I'm not fallen. I'm so proud. Okay, fine, yeah. This seems good, no? So it makes a difference, yeah.
Is there any, since you said that every word is like a code, I'm asking that, is there any significance to the word darpana, why so is compared to darpana?
Yeah, yeah.
The mirror?
Yeah, so these are codes, you know. I just give one meaning. But there is other totally, entirely different esoteric meaning to this. Why mirror is there? Why white lotus is there? It is all compared to beauty of Krishna.
You talked about the dust. But you didn't talk about the mirror.
Not talk about?
You talked about the dust.
Dust, yeah. Mirror, yeah. Yeah, you know why mirror? My mirror is used as example. He could have used table or plate or chalk. Mirror. Because in mirror you see your reflection, no? So you see yourself. But the dust is stopping you to see yourself, your own sarupa. Your own constitutional position. That is why this example of mirror is used. When we close our eyes, what do we see? We can't see ourselves because there is dust. When dust is over, then in your heart you will see it's a mirror. Then you will see your reflection. Okay, this is me. This is my form. That is why this word mirror is used. And then there are other meanings also. So.
How do you find the rest of your lectures?
Huh? Which lecture?
You've done one.
Yeah, yeah, I have done one.
So you have to give us some point at which you can find the remaining seven.
On my site, puredevotee.com, I have lectures on Shishastakam. But I think so, that's probably not in English. I have one Hindi site also. seerandtheseen.com. Hindi lectures are there. Shishastakam. We have there.
Is there the website?
It's there,
Ruhu? I have listened to that together.
Shishastakam? Shishastakam?
Yeah, the 8 series you did, correct?
Oh, yeah, English.
English,
Hindi, na?
Hindi, mein.
Haan, Hindi, mein, yeah. Yeah, so we can forward to you. seerandtheseen.com is there. S-E-E-R and the scene. Written? I don't know. Yeah, we have to do something. So that's about it. Till what time we have to go on, by the way?
Typically, end at 10. You can take 10.
Oh, it's 5 minutes. Okay, any questions now? I finished first verse. And second verse, definitely I cannot handle because there's so many things. It will take me around 3 hours to discuss second verse. Minimum, I need 3 hours. Nam Namakari Bhagavad. There's so many things. Yeah, that's why I'm keeping.
Now you've given us
the dates. This, yeah. The next time we'll finish this. Any questions now? I've been asking, so. Anyway, it was a question answer session, but.
We memorized Bhagavad Gita. We are told to, not achieved it. We memorized. But out of that, I noticed that one or two are constantly used, like Niradhavi Sumachena and Chetudakana. The others are not really regularly utilized in lectures and others.
Yeah.
Every step equally important? Everything carries.
No, Yugayatam Nimishena, after that, it's not applicable to us. But it is not applicable to us practically, but it will be required to know a goal. Because even without goal, practice doesn't make any sense, no? And that is why Mahaprabhu revealed to us all those things. He knew that most of us, it doesn't matter, you know, Yugayatam Nimishena, who's on that platform. But still he revealed to us the goal. So that our practice is motivated towards that goal. Otherwise practice will make no sense. So that shlokas are not practical to us, but yet practical. In the sense of goal. You have to keep them in our mind. You have to reach there.
You've done this lecture series over time, and today's lecture. It leaves a kind of confusion in the mind, in the sense that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is one of the simplest, easiest, and strangest possible path you can find.
Yeah.
If you are spiritually inclined.
Yeah, yeah.
At the same time, there are so many things. Once you step in,
it's
full of gutters. All through. I mean, you can step in a hole at any point and get stuck.
it is.
How does a person who listens to these lectures take it?
You have to take it that way. It is the easiest path in the association of devotees. Mahaprabhu has always told in the association. So, if you're an association of devotees, it becomes easy. If you're not, it becomes very difficult. So, we have to understand that Mahaprabhu, this is said by Jiva Goswami, your question. Jiva Goswami has written an article on that verse, Anarpita Charam Chirat. Karunya Avtirna Kalau. You know that verse? Anarpita Charam Chirat. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Adi Leela it comes. Anarpita Charam Chirat Karunya Avtirna Kalau. Samarvitum Unnata Ujwala Rasam Bhakti Shriyam. So Bhakti Shriyam. So Bhakti Shriyam. Yes, so Bhakti. So that's the verse. Chaitanya has come to give us Anarpita, which is never given for long time. Chiram, Chirat. In this verse, so Jiva Goswami has written a commentary on that, and he raises this question. Okay, fine, Mahaprabhu's movement is very easy. Is it? Namo Mahavadaniya, he's made it very easy. So then what to do? Then there are so many books by acharyas and so many complexities. What to do? So Jiva Goswami offers a solution. He says, Mahaprabhu has made complex things easy by his explanations. Yeah, what I'm telling, it's all acharyas. So difficult concepts, but we're able to understand like this, no? This is the mercy of Lord. This is the meaning of easy. You got my point? He gave us easy explanations to difficult concepts. And that is why his movement is easy. And he's called magnanimous. That's the idea. Yeah.
So you are mentioning like we can concentrate on the shikshas to come up to the 7th verse, 8th verse is special. But I have heard like, you know, the sadhaka level, you should only consider the past 5 verse.
No, that's what I'm saying. First 5 verse only. 6th, 7th, 8th is not for us. You guys have nimishena. Till 5th verse, sadhakas.
Oh,
you know, especially till 4th verse, not even 5th. 5th also maybe goes higher. But that same point we have to focus also as a goal, not as a practice. As a practice, not focus on last verses, but as a goal you have to focus. You have to define focus, you have to add something else. So when you say don't focus on 6th, 7th verse, you have to add something in practice, as a practice. But as a goal you have to focus. Just like for example Radharani, you have to focus or not. So what do you say? Some people say, no, that's a very higher concept, no? Radha, you know, don't focus. Then why do you have DTs? What she's doing here? So the point is, don't focus. And as a, in a practice, as sadhakas, we don't focus. But as a goal, we focus. Because our goal is Radha Dasyam. So everything should be balanced. It should not be one way, no?
I didn't understand your point. Like the 8th verse says the mood of Radharani, like it's the mood of
Govind. Oh, I understood your point. This confusion I had 20 years back. And then I thought about it. And this is good confusion, actually. It's actually nice confusion. So the point is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed the mood of Radha. This is the mood of Radha, Yugayatam Nimishena. Now the point is, we have to understand Radha's mood. You know why? To serve her. To serve her better. And who serves her better? Manjaris. So in order to serve Radha, in her service to Krishna, we have to understand her mood. That is why she is revealing her mood. So this mood has to be served and not imitated. That is the idea, ultimate idea of this verse. And then we can serve Radha Krishna nicely. We can assist them. So to assist them in their service, she is revealing her mood. Like that. So we have to get some taste of that mood also, no? Really to understand what Radha is feeling. Otherwise, how we will serve her? So to serve her, we want a taste. Not for... Yeah, not for ourselves. And not that we are qualified for it. We'll never be qualified. But we want some taste of this so that we can understand what she is doing with Krishna and what she wants, and we can serve. That's all. That's finished. Okay. Otherwise, it's called Angraha Upasana, nectar devotion. It's said.
We never got there. We stopped with Krishna.
Yeah, I know. That's why. Yeah, but I don't think so. We should stop, no? As a practice, we should stop, but not as a goal.
It takes a lot of understanding.
Yeah, we have to.
We might read it, but not get it.
Yeah, and you know what? I tell you, that's a problem in all institutions. I mean to say, by many people are leaving ISKCON now. At least in India, they go to Radha Kund, Shyam Kund, Gaudiya Math, so many places. Why? Because they are telling all these things. Is it? And the thing, you know, see, ISKCON, they don't tell. They ask us to stop and all these things. And it's making a problem. The point is, it's not their property. It's not neither our property. It is said Lord Chaitanya. But we have to understand in proper context. That's the only idea. So, if we do that, it brings fulfillment. No? Otherwise, we don't feel contented and fulfilled. There's something missing, no? So that's how we have to understand. Yes, Rupa, what do you want to say?
True. Sometimes I feel the goals are so high. Where am I? Is there any hope at all?
Goals are high, where am I?
So, it actually kind of makes us even lose hope or despondent.
Well, it might be, I understand. Sometimes, no? Where am I? Where is Krishna? And what to do? But that disappointment, you know what? Devotee is very intelligent. If you're getting disappointed by this fact, okay? You're getting disappointed by this fact, no? That's the idea. Use this disappointment to become enthusiastic in service of Lord. You understand my point? Yeah, that's a trick. That is what a devotee is. Devotee is very intelligent. Sumedhasa is very intelligent. So when you get disappointed, oh, Krishna is very far, I am here. Use this. Oh, Krishna, I am nothing. What should I do? Please guide me. Please give me mercy. Use this disappointment to get to the level of spontaneous prayers from your heart. Spontaneity will come only from disappointment. It can't come from happiness. It'll never come. Prayers will never come from happiness. If you're happy, okay. Oh, Krishna is nice. Everything is nice. Why will you pray? And Prabhupada said, no, you have to cry like a child. How do you cry? You're happy, you're laughing. Prabhupada never said, laugh like a child. So, cry like a child. How do you cry? Cry comes from disappointment, no? So, we can use this. It's good. It's good. And when that spontaneous prayers will come, everything gets solved. So, don't get disappointed. This is one aspect I'm telling. Another aspect is, another aspect to understand this is, whenever we become disappointed, okay, where am I? Where is Krishna? Just reverse this. Where is Krishna and where am I? Think like this. Where am I? Where is Krishna? From my side, it's impossible, no? Just reverse this. Where is Krishna and where am I? From Krishna's side, impossible is possible. So we are becoming disappointed because we are thinking of us now, first. And then Krishna, no? Just think reverse. If you think Krishna first, Krishna can do anything. From my side, it is impossible. From Krishna's side, everything is possible. Immediately, a ray of hope will come. Okay, fine, no problem. So, impossibility, possibility. All our problems are because we want to keep ourselves first, no? And that's why we get entangled in these things. Just put Krishna first. Things get solved. That's okay. It's a genuine question, I know. Many face this. Especially when you read philosophy. Then these questions come up. My God, it's dangerous. It's fearful. There are so many things. But it's like this. We have faith. Krishna will do. From my side, I can't do, yeah. But Krishna will do. Yeah, Krishna will do. That's okay. He'll do things. Okay, so that's okay. So we'll finish here?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much for hearing about Shishtashtakam. First verse. So, yeah, to be continued, maybe next year, next to next year, who knows? If Damodar Prabhu, it depends what happens. So let's see, I don't know. But this will be nice. If people who are hearing on net, you can also log on to this site, puredevotee.com, simple to understand. I'll be putting all these lectures on net. When I go on India, I'll speak on these topics. You can log on. That's all. That's what I can. Really? Oh, good. So that's how I can serve you. That's all.
Thank you so much. It's been a very wonderful lecture.
Yeah.